Regarding recent publicity, Horda has never been and will never be anything but satanic black metal. We judge every man and woman only by their demeanor, not by their race or sexual preference. We have zero interest in politics, left or right.
Regarding recent publicity, Horda has never been and never will be anything but satanic black metal. We judge every man and woman only by their demeanor, not by their race or sexual preferences. We have zero interest in politics, left or right.
Hey, what's up, Toilet of Hell? It's Robin from Drunken and Graveyard. Regarding recent publicity, Horda has never been and will never be anything but satanic black metal. We judge every man and woman only by their demeanor, not by their race or sexual preferences. We have zero interest in politics, left or right. Oh, baby.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
You're listening to another episode of the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. I am Joe Thrash and Kill. With me, I've got, still to this day, undisputed number one good boy, 365 Days of War.
Springtime for Death Metal Underground in Germany.
And we also have our wayward son returned, Riddlesaw.
I'm back, bitch! You fucking thought you missed me. You thought I was gone. I'm not. I'm here. I'm back. I got so much room to yell and be me. I'm so happy.
You got new room. You got a new place. You got new digs. You've got internet that works now. So right. How does it feel?
Fair. I mean, you know. Well, I have more room than I've ever could have possibly expected. You know, it's great. It's amazing. Place is great. The area that I'm living in is great. The nighttime is quiet. It's fucking incredible. But it's like anytime you move into anywhere, you find out 20 things are broken as you slowly live in it. So it's just I'm going to have a long conversation with the landlord shortly. But other than that, everything's pretty great.
Nice. Or if you're me, you break everything on your own. Then, yeah, you just have to fucking deal with it. Landlords are trash, but it is nice having someone around that fixes your things.
Yeah, they don't like to.
Absolutely not, yeah.
They want to sit there and collect their money because that's what they were told being a landlord is like. And when they find out that, hey, you actually have to spend some of that some of the time, you know, it's not ideal.
These assholes watch some, like, infomercial on how to make passive income now. And, you know, that's what they decided they'd do.
Yeah.
I went and saw Us last night, the new Jordan Peele joint. Have you guys heard about this one?
Yeah, I was looking forward to it. I still want to see it.
It's everywhere. How could you not hear about it?
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? This little indie movie? You know what? It's really, really, really fucking good. I love the hell out of it. And I know that, Jordan, that you'll hate it.
Why will I hate it?
It seems like it's got a couple of things about it that you would dislike.
Are you calling Jordan a racist?
Yeah, what the hell?
Oh, fuck Joe.
Well, no. I guess
I'm just proud of my heritage.
Oh my god, you've been doing the show too long. You've gone irony boy now. you're opposed to hype for one thing, and there's a lot of hype behind this movie.
There is, but I will say I did like his previous movie, so he has that going for him.
You know, and actually, I didn't like Get Out that much. I thought it was okay.
What?
But, yeah. I thought it was just okay.
Why I wanted to see it, because Get Out was not just okay. I thought it was very good.
Very good. I think Us is just so much more grand in scale, and so much stranger. But it also has some weird, fucky plot points that actually don't make any sense and a weird twist at the end, and I know that you'll hate those too, Jordan.
I'll still see it.
For the record, I think it's great, all of it, even though parts of it are probably objectively bad.
I like that. I like when movies end on like a dissonant chord, you know, they just have this sort of ending that just doesn't really give you closure. It just sort of reeks, you know, eings out and it's done. I want to see that.
Yeah, those work because American movies don't typically have that. They usually end on it's completed or, oh, my God, there's going to be a sequel. But there's like some sort of not necessarily a happy ending, but like some sort of satisfying ending or some sort of closure. So it's always good when a movie doesn't have that.
Yeah. And this movie, of course, Jordan Peele is, you know, a nerd about all this shit. There's so many little tropes and symbols and concepts that come out throughout the movie that it's very apparent that, I mean, he's seen every horror movie ever made.
Sick. I'm stoked. I'm going to see it. My wife, she's a big horror movie fan, but for some reason, I think the trailer, I don't know why, but it freaked her out particularly in some way and she didn't want to see it. We are excited about Pet Sematary though. We want to see that real bad.
I'm a little lukewarm on the Pet Sematary one because I saw the trailer before Us yesterday and it's just like, You've like just taken the original movie and just, you know, reshot it is what it looks like to me. Like it's all the same dialogue, all the same little things happening. Judd getting his Achilles tendon torn out on the stairs by Gage. Even Gage is a girl this time now, though.
Oh, see, that's different.
Yeah. And also, John Lithgow is Judd.
Judd, yeah.
Who will never compare with that old ass man from the first one.
Really? You don't think he's up to snuff? I thought he was a real good pick.
I mean, he's a pretty good pick, but it's tough to beat out like, oh, you never want to bury your pets out there in that pet cemetery.
That's what people in Maine actually sound like, by the way.
Right? Yeah, it's just like
that wasn't acting.
Yeah, no. I didn't know you were from Maine, Joe.
Yeah, I'm a master of accents. It's my thing.
Italian, Maine, and an Italian living in Maine. Well,
if you're a master of accents, can you do Greek? Because we got something here going these days with the band called Thy Dark and Shade, which is apparently a Greek group that I was unfamiliar with. But they had some things to say about black metal this last week, I think.
Oh, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm a little under the weather at the moment. Yeah. My throat's not working as well. So, you know, the master of 1,000 impersonations, he's going to have to take a backseat this week. But if one of you guys wants to jump on this one for a dramatic reading.
I think I'll do it. I'll do it. I can do it. It's not like the novella it was last time. So you guys don't have to skip ahead 40 minutes to get to the show.
Luckily, just put a little feta in your voice and it'll be good.
Yeah. No, I think I'm just going to read it as an impression I already do because I can't do Greek. I think we tried before the show and it was just Mario. So it just that's not what Greek
is. Although, same fucking thing. All Greek people look like Mario.
It's a meme.
You can't say that in 2019.
Come fucking get me, Grecians.
Greeks. Their economy is doing very poorly.
Yeah.
They tax everything. You have a tax for pools, a special tax for pools in Greek.
Well, we can talk about the intricacies of how they got fucked over by the European Union later. But for now, I guess we should talk about the statement that these Greeks made.
Okay, so I'm gonna read it through it. We're just gonna go right through it. This is my first time reading it, so I'll do the best I can. But we're going to read this from Thy Dark and Shade on Facebook.com. And it's going to be presented by none other than Dave Mustaine from Megadeth. Let me go get it.
Oh no.
All right, okay. Hold on here. Stupid ass chair. Shit. Okay. In this age, demystification is trendy. We refuse to believe in any of their lies, and we laugh at them with disrespect. We shall never forget those that are responsible for one of the most sinister revolutions of our holy genre. Thus, we raise our chalices to Euronymous. Not by idolizing him, but by honoring his legacy. A man that baptized the genre with his strong spiritual views, influencing people worldwide to create a strong ideological movement, inspiring the Norwegian scene to convert from death metal to spiritual inclined black metal, creating death-like silence and furthering influencing labels from Novidia to World Terror Committee the Sinister Flame to end all life, Shadow Records, etc., to contribute with a very similar vision, and continuing inspiring the best bands worldwide to this day. Black metal was never the same before and after him. We will never forget. Hell, you're one of us! Chalice of Blood by Vampirus Imperium. Thank you.
Incredible. So, they know he's dead and he can't read this shit, right?
Yeah. No shout outs for you guys.
What's the audio version of the jerking off motion? Because that's what we need for this.
It sounds like this.
Perfect.
Wait, did you grab your cheeks and just kind of flap them together? Because that's the alpha move, too.
The Ralph Wiggum.
Yeah. That's the one that gets your teacher looking around in the classroom.
I don't know anything about these Thy Dark and Shade fellas, but...
What a bunch of dorks.
Yeah, this is some real nerd shit. God damn. Can you imagine, like, riding this and then, I don't know, facing another human ever again?
Well, look, it's the guy Nargaroth from Germany? He's fucking right, man. You got these posers coming out after the movie came out. Suddenly it's cool to worship Euronymous, and you got this bullshit from these Greek nerds, you know, these posers, these not true black metal, grim frostbitten warriors of the dark and light. These guys are fucking posers, man. They just saw the movie and now they think it's cool, and so they're jumping on the bandwagon.
That is such a thing that they all point to, and, you know, I hate to pull out logical fallacy flashcards, but I think it's a straw man, because I don't think any of those things have happened until now. Because we need to get together and form a band that says we were directly inspired by the movie Lords of Chaos.
Yeah. It's like we just didn't know anything about black metal.
And yeah, then we call ourselves Tasties.
Basically we just... This is a job where we should hire, like, really, really attractive male models to be in this band for us. Sort of like, you know, the old studio system, you hire like a Milli Vanilli type, you know?
Yeah.
They don't have to know anything about black metal. It's better if they don't, actually. They'll just look really, really hot. Mm-hmm. We'll put some leather and some face paint on them, and we'll just make really sloppy second wave black metal. And in all interviews, they'll talk about how they were inspired by Macaulay Culkin's brother.
They just open up they purse their pouty lips to the microphone, and it's just me going.
Exactly.
I went to the cinema, and as the lights darkened and Macaulay Culkin's brother came up on the screen, I knew.
So, yeah, if they're going to get mad about something, we might as well make it happen.
I mean, I found that bathroom mirror scene really inspiring, where they all just get together and put on their makeup and make faces in the mirror.
Oh, man. Did you see it without us?
I didn't. I'm still waiting.
That could also describe the Motley Crue movie that just came out, The Dirt.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I'm never going to see that unless, of course, we have to watch it for this podcast.
I guess we can rent it on Amazon, and my wife showed some interest, so we might as well. I've heard it depends on who you ask, but I've heard it's a good movie. If you're any kind of metal fan, you don't like it. But if you're not, then I guess it's pretty good.
I think a second episode of this podcast was about how much of a piece of shit every member of Motley Crue is.
Including Mick Mars?
Except for Mick Mars.
There we go.
I don't think Mick Mars is a bad dude. He's just had a really bad run of luck.
Yeah.
But, like, Vince Neil has killed a guy. Yep. Nikki Sixx has made it his life's mission to fuck underage girls. Tommy Lee there's all kinds of shit going on with him, but he's also abusive towards women.
Yeah. And pretty much same as far as Nikki Sixx, like him and Nikki Sixx together, we're just equal piles of shit.
Yeah. So I don't know how much of this movie I could stomach, but I might give it a shot because it's like on Netflix, right?
No. Oh. You have to rent it on Amazon for
money. Never going to happen. Absolutely not going to happen.
Then you just have to wait it out. I'm sure it'll be on Netflix eventually.
There's this this account that I'm seeing everywhere now on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. I think it's called Catatonic Youth, who's just been taking choice cuts of audio and of bands playing and making it happen. For this other episode, for the Patreon show, I sampled a bit of the guy from Stain doing It's Been a While and just shredding his vocals on the chorus for some reason. But with Motley Crue, they took some recent performance from Vince Neil and just added a caption on it like, "Motherfucker sounds like Bob Dylan."
Oh my God. That's been my video of the month. That thing. It's like, I'm genuinely concerned someone's going to have to go out there and kickstart Vince Neil's heart. He does not look good. He's like completely beat red and just cannot hit a single note. It's like the worst karaoke times 10. It's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, age makes a fool of us all and all, but especially that guy.
I just want it to stop, you know. I want the 80s nostalgia to totally end so that you can stop bringing out these, like, fat, tired men on stage. Please.
Do you think that'll ever happen, that we'll stop just digging up the corpses of the 80s over and over again?
They gotta die sooner or later.
And as long as they're making Spider-Man movies, I don't think anything's gonna happen as far as, like, the nostalgia market is concerned. And it's probably why you would prefer the earlier Pet Sematary movie, because that's the one you grew up with and you knew, and that's your baby there, man.
Yeah.
And nothing's going to compare.
I mean, I guess I just don't see the point in remaking a thing just to remake it, you know?
Yeah, I guess they're trying to go off the success of It, which I thought It was really cool. I thought it was probably quite a bit of a better experience watching that than watching the made-for-TV special.
Yeah, I agree. The Tim Curry, It sucked. Just straight up.
It's just bad. Well, made-for-TV Stephen King adaptations never really did very well.
You know, when I was a kid, I really liked the made-for-TV Shining adaptation because I had never seen the original Shining.
Oh, it's a good package, no.
With the weird ending.
Yep. I was like, this is dope. I don't know why everybody's so mad.
Were they made like Jack Torrance a literal monster with his golf club? Because I guess that's how that happened in the not golf club, croquet mallet. Come now.
Yeah. Who was the guy that played Jack Torrance in that movie? He was like,
who cares?
It's like Steven. He was on every sitcom in the 90s. So it was really weird and jarring.
Yeah. And they had that little kid with the round face and the buck teeth.
Yeah, every child.
Yeah, well, no, it was this kid especially was very cheruby, I just recall. And they had like the parts of the book that really weren't that scary when you took them out of print. Like you had like the garden statues moving around. It was dumb. It was not cool.
It was Steven Weber, by the way. That was
Steven Weber.
That was the fella. You God damn it, I'm sorry guys, I'm sick. You'll remember him as one of the main characters on Wings.
I don't know if I remember Wings, so oh well.
Well, just have to remember the line from The Simpsons tonight on Wings.
Who cares?
Oh dear, man. Yeah, Simpsons was taking jabs long before Family Guy and other sitcoms. You know, Simpsons did it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they did. Well, everything.
They sure did.
Oh, my God. So I wanted to watch this one specific Treehouse of Horror Simpsons episode after seeing Us last night, because there was a bit in there that reminded me of it, and I wanted to show my lady that episode. And we downloaded Hulu. Now they only have one season of The Simpsons on Hulu, the most recent season, the 30th season of The Simpsons.
Jesus.
And I only own the first 7 seasons of The Simpsons, so of course the one that I was looking for was episode 1, season 8.
Do you have cable TV?
I don't, know.
Because what you could do is, if you do or you have a friend that does, you can go on to FXX and they have all the Simpsons seasons, shit. Like all of them.
I feel like FXX is specifically there just to show Simpsons episodes.
That and Always Sunny new episodes.
Oh, boy. Getting back to
metal. Music. I forgot what we were talking about. Sorry.
Metal, probably. I think that's what we're here for.
All right.
I know that's not what the listeners are here for.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I guess we can try that.
Okay. So, I mean, I feel like this is just pretty par for the course. These fucking, these cucks, these SJWs at metalsucks.net.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm talking about. They, again, are encroaching on the free speech and the open artistic freedoms of yet another innocent group.
Bummer, man. It sucks that they would do that.
Yeah, really. I mean, how are you? It's just it's Tipper Gore all over again.
Yeah, but it's worse because they're Jews.
No,
is that what the consensus is on the internet? I've tried to avoid this shit altogether.
Well, it doesn't help that they're literally Jews. I think that's the worst. That's how hard it is for them on the internet.
It is so easy to levy like actual criticism against Metal Sucks, but the dumbest people on earth always bring it back to, and yeah, they're Jews.
Oh, and by the way, they're Jewish. So a band called Horna, Finnish black metal band. You might have heard of them. You might not. It doesn't really matter.
I've heard of them. I think that we've covered them many, many times as well.
Have we?
Yeah, probably, man.
It all just mixes together in a big blur. If you put on face paint, I don't know who you are. It's that kind of a thing. Besides, like, three bands. All the other bands are just, what is it? Fucking posers, right?
Yeah, that's so. It.
All right, so Metal Sucks. They take issue with Horna, with Horna having some ties to that our favorite genre, NSBM.
Yeah,
you got these dudes out there with kind of a laundry list of stuff here. I'm talking swastikas as part of their logos, working with NSBM labels. Stating things like, in my opinion, the National Socialism means to be proud of the own inheritance and the country, to believe in the brothers in arms and to the values which exclude any foreign influence or religion. Same dumb bullshit. So Metal Sucks, being a news outlet, just stated the facts of the matter that these things are real.
I should probably give a little bit of I don't know what the word is for it. Background on this, because there was actually an email that went around earlier this week to I would guess every metal publication of this fellow that I will keep anonymous, who basically said, hey, Horna is going on tour. Here is the other projects that these guys are a part of. Do what you need to do. And so I think that Metal Sucks picked up on that email.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of the email. I don't know if they mentioned it. I kind of glanced
over it. I doubt it. Yeah, it was kind of sent as like an anonymous tip thing.
I gotcha. But, I mean, hey, that's all this stuff is true. I'm sure, you know, you can link back to any one of this stuff and find that factually, yeah, these guys were involved in whatever happened. And not to mention that they're very good friends with a little French band called Peste Noire.
Oh, yeah. The guys that have decided to do away with any nuance whatsoever.
Right.
Straight up blackface.
Yeah, just blackface, clan hood, in a noose. Very, very obvious how they feel about anything.
Yeah, what's the deal with that, man?
Well, you know, I think it's just par for the course that if you do bad things, people remember that stuff and bring it up later. Or very recently, what was it, like 2008, some of these six, like not that long ago in all things considered, like definitely like kind of a recent thing if you were a full blown Nazi to have people still trust you.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know, man. I think this political correctness has gone wild. So anyway, what happened? What's happened since they published a thing?
They published a thing. And I think up to four, if not five, shows have been canceled already. Horn is having a hard time finding a stage, guys.
It's tough out there for a pimp.
Yeah.
So I noticed that they've got dates all over the country. Who was the first one to drop the hammer?
Let's see.
I think it was Portland. Yeah.
Boston Nova Ballroom in Portland. And then it was eventually followed up by a show in Oakland, show in Denver, and a show at the Kingsland in Brooklyn. And the promoter that was putting on the show in Brooklyn, Metal Mafia Records, and nothing says a promoter like records in your name. But anyway, they posted about it on Facebook in the event of the page event and said, number one, the show is not canceled. It was just moved. Number two, if you have your ticket, don't panic. Just wait for info. Number three, fuck Antifa. Fuck the Kingsland. I always get a kick out of these black metal guys saying fuck Antifa. Because it's just like, so if you don't like anti-fascists, that means go on, suss it out. Complete the sentence.
Well, don't you know that, you know, anti-fascists are the real fascists, Jordan. Ooh, mind blown. Red pill. Woo, woo, woo.
Fuck Andy Fua.
Fuck with me.
I saw the High Dive in Colorado, in Denver. They put out a couple of statements as well. They're like, yeah, fuck you. Get the fuck out of here.
The best thing ever was Phil Anselmo refused to – not Phil Anselmo, I'm sorry. Phil Labonte, of All That Remains, close. he refused to play with them.
That's – okay. Do you have that in front of you? Because that's wild to me that, like – I mean, it's not like he's a good person or anything like that. But he's calculated like, oh, I probably can't do this one.
Yeah, not in front of me, but I kind of paraphrase. Okay, you read it then.
So there's a tweet from pro-abortion numbnut is the person's name, at punished_DB. Great, wonderful.
Great.
Thanks, Phil. Will you check back in when you hear back? And then Phil responded with, management just sent this. I believe in free speech. I also believe in freedom of association, and we don't associate with those types of beliefs. And it's a link to the Metal Sucks post. And he followed up with, off the bill, yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Wild.
I hate the free speech little thing in there, too. It's like, you don't have to... It's not about free speech, man.
Yeah, but he has a brand to maintain, which is, you know, libertarian ideal of... you know, I don't necessarily agree with you throwing out racial slurs, but I'll defend to my death your right to throw them.
Right. Yes.
But he will fight you if you burn the American flag.
Oh, man. Yeah, definitely. America. It's good.
I'll take his American flag hat off his bald head and burn it right in front of him. And I'll throw it all 3.5 feet to the ground from where it started.
Was it Lamb Goat this week that did an interview with Phil Labonte?
It was fucking I think it might have been Lamb Goat, but Blabbermouth fucking published it.
In which they asked Phil Labonte the question of the fucking sanctuary.
Yes.
Why do you always wear a hat?
Getting to the real meat of what is Phil Labonte.
Oh my God, and his fucking answer was just amazing. It was like, you know, back in the day, Metallica didn't need to go up on stage in anything but jeans and t-shirts. They didn't give a fuck. And I've always been against the rock star look. I don't put on makeup. It's like, dude, you're bald. Just say it. You're fucking balding.
You're fucking bald.
Bald to the bone.
I'm going to play the entire Howard Wolken is bald EP right here.
And it's fine. Baldness has become accepted in society. It didn't stop David Draymond from having platinum records making gorilla sounds. No one cares, Phil. It's fine.
Or platinum chin tusks.
I went and saw Blood Incantation like a week ago. And their vocalist is he's a long-haired metal dude, and he rules. And Blood Incantation is like probably the best newish band. They're so fucking good live. But he is balding so badly, it's almost a skullet now, and I wonder if he's going to keep it going.
Ugh. And it's just they like pull their hair back out of their eyes and like the little strings on the top of their head just yank with it. Ugh, I hate that, dude. Just shave your head. It's okay.
If you've been like just super metal dude for your entire life, I imagine it would take a lot to get you to pull the trigger and pull out the shears, man.
Yeah. Well, I think as far as like, you know, true blue metal musician, you got two hairstyles. It's either dead ass skinhead bald or long ass dragon mane flowing, you know? So it's like, I think you'd be cool with one or the other. Just shave it off, man. No one's going to be mad at you.
Yeah. Devin Townsend did the skullet for a long time, but he finally said enough is enough.
He said enough is enough to a lot of things lately.
Like what?
Well, I mean, he's come out with this documentary where he's just going on and on and on about he just doesn't want to make metal records anymore. So, of course, he just like makes another metal record and says it's not metal, but it's just Devin Townsend for it. He just can't not do a blast beat where it counts. So
I liked his Casualties of Cool record. There wasn't any blast beats on that one.
There should have been. There could have been.
I don't think it was necessary.
I know, but it's not about what's necessary, you know. It's about your artistic, you know, passion and creativity. And I don't know how those things exist without blast beats.
See, you also had the guitarist of Suffocation. He's had a skullet for a long time. And then what was it? Steve Vai, the bald one.
Steve Vai, really?
Not Steve Vai. Joe Satriani.
Satriani.
I get the two confused in my head.
Steve Vai has some beautiful like 80s aunt hair. He's doing just fine.
Yeah, Satriani was he had a skullet for a bit, and then finally he did the full on Silver Surfer appearance.
Should oh, yeah. Bring back bold chops to heavy metal.
I agree.
Which one of you young bands out there will lead us the way?
Are we gonna talk about Napalm Death or we're just gonna leave Mitch Harris out of this conversation?
I mean,
is it Mitch Harris?
Wait, is it?
No, I can't remember his name. The guy with the hilariously balding head.
You talking about Barney?
No, Barney's the singer.
Who's the fella?
Everyone's screaming at us in the listening side of the realm.
Shane Embry, right?
Then what the fuck? I try to be all sly. I type in Napalm Death guitarist. I get like 40 names.
Yeah, because Napalm Death has had a million members, dude.
But they've had this one bald guy forever.
Yeah, Shane Embry, he's the bass player.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not personally huge into Napalm Death.
Edit it all out.
Okay, you guys have to understand, this is the last show before I'm gone for a while. I'm not editing anything because I already have 4 episodes that I need to edit.
Yeah. Anyway, it's Shane Embry from Napalm Death. Very balding.
I don't know if you can call it balding anymore. I think it stopped. Like his hair decided that this was the point that I'm done, and the rest of it just keeps going.
I guess when you get that age, you just have to kind of, you know, assume that it's going to be like that for the rest of your life. So maybe you're right.
I don't know. I've never had this problem. I've got a beautiful head of hair.
Same. Maybe just a little bit more than you, but.
Yeah. How's your noggin holding up, Jordan?
Hanging follicles are just hanging on for dear life.
Just combing over just one side to the other.
Sorry, man. It's all that raging testosterone. You can't help it.
Have you ever seen an old guy with like a real comb over close up?
Yes. Yeah.
I if I start losing my hair tomorrow, which, you know, God forbid, just never do that. Just shave your head, man. Just shave it. Call it a day. Or like go with it's even acceptable to like have the horseshoe Costanza look, you know?
Is it
better than
if you're a certain age?
That's fair.
Like once you hit 40, no one's looking at you anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Or you're like a clown for a living.
To be fair,
go ahead.
No, I want you to go ahead with whatever weird ass thought process you have going on.
Speaking, Speaking of being a clown for a living, have you guys heard about this whole Slipknot thing going down?
Jesus Christ. What happened, Jordan?
Wait, what do you mean, what happened, Jordan? Brendan was the one talking.
You're the one on the new metal beat.
What the, come on, whoa. Jordan is getting more abuse than usual.
I haven't even done anything.
That's why, that's the thing, man, is we know you won't defend yourself, so we just hit you harder. It's like when your mom said, just ignore him in school. She was wrong, man.
You do know I used to box, right?
Yeah, he's got like the golden gloves and shit. He would easily.
And was a hockey player.
Yeah. Be the shit out of me, I know it.
Just work the midsection.
Right. Well, maybe you could help Chris Fenn out. Maybe you could help him, you know, back him up a bit, because this guy's not doing so well. He got kicked out of Slipknot this week over a... Was it this week or was it maybe a couple weeks ago? I don't know. March 22nd is the article I'm reading. So he's alleging that, I guess, Corey Taylor and Sean Crahan, better known as Clown, had some side businesses going on kind of outside of the main group that they were collecting money on. And I guess it was Chris Fenn's understanding that every bit of income that came into Slipknot was split nine ways evenly.
God, among all the- what a sweet deal for the guys who don't do shit.
Right. What a sweet deal for Chris Fenn, who like bonks on a like marching parade drums wrapped around him. And I'm sure they're not mic'd up. I'm sure it doesn't really matter anything he's done. But, you know, I mean, if you've seen a Slipknot show, these guys do a lot. It's like a circus troupe of dudes just breaking their kneecaps over the course of several years of touring. So I'm sure he feels it's up to him.
The Shin Yun of metal productions.
Yeah. It's like a Cirque du Soleil for idiots.
So he alleged that maybe he wasn't getting his fair share of the Slipknot pile, and
that's right.
got his ass kicked out. Is that what happened?
Yeah, it's what it looks like. I mean, the guy lawyered up right away and sued the band. It just happened that way. I don't know if there was a lot of discussion before that. I don't know if there was a lot of personal reaching out, but who knows? It's all kind of up in the air right now. But what we do know is that Slipknot has lost yet another member, and I can't believe that. You know, they only have nine.
Yeah. Are they going to replace him or just like, nah, it's fine?
I would love to. I'm up for it. I want to audition myself. I can bang a trash can pretty well.
People were suggesting that the old vocalist, the one prior to Corey Taylor, should like come back and do it. And he basically said, no, thanks. I'm good.
Not only that, but he supported Chris Fenn.
Yeah.
So that's a bridge burned.
And the guy said, he's just like, I have a real job I can retire with.
Yeah.
So that made me respect his answer a lot more.
Woof. Well, where do you go from here? Because, you know, you got dudes who are getting up in years doing this this thing that somehow caught on and never really should have, because, you know, your specifics are all out of whack. You got too many people in the band for everybody to get paid well for, you know, essentially just being a set piece. Do you think they're just going to keep trimming?
I think they're going to put out one more album, maybe go on a few more tours and wrap it up. Because even before this, there was talk of them finishing up. So I think it's just one of those things where maybe this isn't the catalyst, but maybe it's just kind of like, let's take a real long break for a while. Make more Stone Sour, more To My Surprise albums. No one will care about it. In 2 or 3 years, we'll realize we need money and then we'll come back. Or they'll just do like Knot Fest once or twice a year.
Makes sense.
I feel like Chris Fenn, I mean, his specific mask was a pretty iconic one among their group of nerds there. I don't think he's ever really changed it that much.
Mess with the greatness that is Dick Nose?
Yeah, Dick Nose for sure. I mean, he could have made it a little more Dick Nosey. It's pretty standard Pinocchio stuff. I know he jerked it off on stage constantly and flapped it around, but that's the best part about it, is that's the reason he's the multimillionaire he is because that dick, when he's like headbanging on stage, it just flaps around and it's hilarious. So comic genius of his time.
Do you think he's a millionaire?
Yes, absolutely. If you've seen like one of the interviews where he's unmasked, he's like on a golf course, which a very nice golf shirt. He's doing just fine. There's no way that all of the members of Slipknot are not millionaires.
Somebody out there, I want you to like refute or confirm this, because that's, I know that they make a buttload of money, but it just seems like the margins are too tight with that many people.
Well, it's album sales, touring, DVD sales, t-shirt stuff. You know, I'm sure Roadrunner has thrown a lot of money at them over the years as well. I think, I don't know if not millionaire, then very well off.
Gentlemen, I have actually found, and I shit you not, from metalheadzone.com, here is a list of all the members of Slipknot and their net worths. Do you want to go through them?
Please.
Okay. Start with Sean Crahan, the guy in the clown mask. He's worth $10 million.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and it's not the biggest one. It's actually surprising because he's like one of the most iconic dudes and he does the most stuff, but he's worth $10 million. Here we go. Craig Jones, the guy with the spiky head, sampler guy, $20 million.
The fucking DJ?
The DJ guy. No, no, well, not
doesn't
the DJ.
Doesn't he do DJ stuff? Oh,
yeah, I think he's like the Korg sample guy specifically. Like if there's weird noises in the background, that's what he does. Mick Thompson, who I think is the actual Wicca Wicca DJ guy.
I thought he was the guitarist of Mick Thompson.
Nope, he's the guitarist. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Sid Wilson, who I'll get to in a bit. Mick Thompson, $20 million.
Jesus.
Corey Taylor, only.
Breno, you there? All right. Well, we lost Breno. I guess his internet sucks or something. But, okay.
It's, you don't know what you got until it's gone. And he was gone for a few weeks. And then he came up and gave us his beautifulness and then was gone. It's very tender, touching moment, really.
Yeah, I'm not taking it personally at all. Not like he's ducking us. Anyway, I found the list he was looking at. Corey Taylor, $10 million. You know what? I think he fucked up. He puts in so much more work than these other guys. Only worth $10
million. That seems low. Maybe it's just because he spends more money, like self-funding book tours and that sort of thing.
Yeah, he's got to get his thoughts out there to the people. It's worth it. Sid Wilson, that is the DJ fella, right?
Yes.
$10 million. So, basically, Corey Taylor never had to work so hard. He could have just gone wiki, wiki, wiki a few times and wear a bug mask, and he would have been just fine.
Did they even wiki, wiki that much anymore?
No, they haven't wiki, wikied in quite a while. Up in 47 years, I think.
Hashtag bring back the wiki wiki, Slipknot.
Agreed. I remember listening to a solo track that Sid Wilson put out a few years ago, and it is just like baby's first DJing setup. Like the entire thing is that Amen break, like the it sounds like he just downloaded Fruity Loops and threw some things together. So good for him for being so successful despite everything going on there.
So what you're saying is that Bloody Incantation needs to wiki wiki and they'll become millionaires.
Yeah, guys, consider, you know, if you got that pesky bald spot, just put a mask on over it and start wiki wikiing over over those cool ass riffs. And I think you might have a recipe for success there.
Yeah, get a gimmick. Don't just be metal dudes.
Somehow Chris Finn is worth $20 million.
Like, there's got to be a reason for that, like investing or a bus hit him and he sued the city, something.
Do you think the members of Slipknot have like a mutual fund that they invest in together?
I would think some of them probably have some sort of fiduciary control, other people handling their stuff. They didn't buy mansions and blow all their money like all of these athletes.
Yeah, I don't know. Whoever is doing the finances for Slipknot, they should probably take over the finances of other up-and-coming rich folks, because it seemed to be doing pretty well. Jim Root, the other guitarist fella, $9 million. I don't know what he did to fuck it up, because he's also in Stone Sour, right?
Yeah, I think he was. I don't think he is anymore.
Oh, okay. I'm wondering if just being in Stone Sour is a losing operation.
It's just a money pit.
Yeah. Which is funny. I would have figured that would be a more successful venture because it's such a stripped-down production compared to the Slipknot thing.
And they did have actual radio hits.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't name any of them, but I know that I've heard them.
Something About the Stars.
It's not
scars.
Something.
Alessandro Venturella is worth $1 million.
Well, he's the new guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. He took over for was it Paul Gray? Chad Gray?
Yeah, the bassist. Chad Gray. Chad Gray is Mudvayne.
Sorry. One of the Gray brothers. And finally, we have Jay Weinberg, who is worth $1 million, which seems fucked up because he's the son of Max Weinberg, who should be worth many, many, many millions.
Well, maybe he let his son go out on his own, and he's a self-made millionaire now.
Yeah, that's what all rich people do.
Him and Kylie Jenner.
Yeah, she's the first self-made billionaire. Good for her. Girl power.
She did it all by herself. No one helped her. She had to go on food stamps.
Thanks, Coach.
And he was never heard from again.
That is true. What is Craig T. Nelson, right?
Yes.
Like, the most dap that he's gotten since is a funny Twitter user has adapted his name, and that's about it.
He owned himself out of being on TV anymore. Like, I think he's been in some movies, but not much.
He's probably going to get on that Hallmark Christian movie grift, you know?
There's a gap now that Aunt Becky from Full House can't be on the Hallmark Channel anymore.
Fucking A, Aunt Becky. You've betrayed me. You were so hot when I was a kid. And now what have you done?
And I like how her kid is just like, I didn't even want to go to college. I'm an Instagram influencer.
Incredible stuff. We've got a really cool system built up for our richest and most powerful people. I mean, I always just assume that rich people just got to go to really nice schools because their parents were giving money to the schools. And, you know, that's how it goes, of course. But
yeah,
I didn't realize there was an illegal way to do that.
Yeah, I guess there's the right way and the wrong way, and they did about it the wrong and very stupid way. Instead of just going, here's the Aunt Becky School of Engineering, they just paid someone to take her kids' tests and, like, coaches to let their kids get scholarships on the team. That, like, happened to my college. The tennis coach is now gone because of it.
Damn. You went to a better school than I did, I think.
A state school.
Yeah, so did I.
So both are bad, in other words.
I mean, I went to University of Texas, which is, I hear it's ranked really well. Maybe it is for certain programs, but I feel like my quality of education was maybe pretty poor. I feel like I'm dumb, and I blame my school for that, not for my own failings.
Well, it's like every college has its own specialties, and now the way things are going, they're all STEM or like engineering and stuff like that, so doesn't matter that you have a good writing program anymore, a good poli-sci program. Just, you know, let me know about marine biology. So when people go to college without one of those things in mind and just want to get a degree or focus on something they actually like, they do get left behind.
Yeah. That was kind of my thing. I went and got a fake degree because I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, and I still don't really. So younger folks, if you're listening to this and you're looking at schools and such, maybe don't. I don't know. I'm looking at doing like a medical thing now, but I bet trade school would be pretty good. I wanted to be like an electrician for a little bit until I realized that would be basically another 4 years of school.
Yeah, school sucks.
Yeah. Can't avoid it, though. It's one of those things. It's a checkbox you have to hit. And it's insane that you have to spend so much of your time and money putting yourself into just an insurmountable amount of debt to check the box that says I am eligible to have a better job if I can somehow get one. It's pretty fucked up.
What you should have done is learn how to wiki wiki and you'll be a millionaire.
That's the takeaway from this one, fellas. I don't know, man. I miss Breno. I don't know what to do now that he's gone.
I mean, we could appreciate each other's company. Could also kind of tilt their heads and lift their eyebrows at Les Claypool saying Primus is going to open for Slayer on their final tour.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that's what he said during a podcast with, I think, Bill Burr.
Huh. I would actually go to one of those shows then.
But he also said that it's going to start at Madison Square Garden and end in the Fillmore in California. And I assume when he says Madison Square Garden, he means the theater and not actual Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that's reserved for sellout to audiences like for Andrew Dice Clay.
And Imagine Dragons.
There's no way that they could fill that, right?
No, absolutely not. Unless it was like a $10 ticket.
I don't think they're willing to do that, do you?
No, absolutely not. They need their money.
But yeah, I'd be willing to go see Primus and then leave immediately afterwards.
Definitely. See Primus for a decent price and then leave. Primus toured with Mastodon maybe a year or two ago and played near me, but it was like $60 tickets. And I was like, no, stop it.
Yeah, they played at the F1 racetrack here in town, and tickets there, it was $80. It was not going to do that. Sorry, pals.
And on top of this, it's not going to be Slayer's last tour. I've been saying it before, I'm going to say it again. They will tour again.
Yeah, you've been saying this for years now because you're right. They will never give it up.
Now, maybe you'll get Kerry King's Reign in Blood, touring, or Tom Araya's Fest, but sooner or later, 3-4 years down the road, they'll get back together again. People will flip out because, oh my God, they're back together and they're going to put out a new album that's not going to be that good. And the cycle will continue.
It never ends, folks. Anyway, join us next week. I won't be here. So what do you think you're going to do?
Well, I thought we had a few things already recorded in the can.
Oh, I hope we have enough.
Well, if not, maybe Bruno can get his internet fixed, or next week's show is just going to be me silently breathing into the microphone, waiting for you to come back from your honeymoon.
That'd be a lot of fun. Folks, signing off, going to Japan, then I'm going to look at some robots, and then hopefully 2 weeks from now, I will return safely, assuming everything goes according to plan.
Possibly with some new ink on you.
Maybe. Definitely with a model robot kit in tow.
And a nice 2 koi fish shaped like a yin-yang on your lower back.
Hell yeah. All right, folks. I'm dying. I'll see you next time.
Bye.
Can you feel the road that's on the way?
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.